Hey, good to see you guys this morning. You know, thanks for braving the elements and making it out here this morning. My name's Chris. I'm the pastor of multiplication and growth here at Cross Point. And I'm really excited to be up here with you guys this morning, sharing about this series we've been in. We've been really examining this one word, follow. We've been trying to figure out what does it actually look like to follow Jesus. And so this morning we're going to be kind of examining, as Eric said, what's the end goal? Like, what is the whole point of this thing? You know, Jesus shows up like 2,000 years ago, and he just starts inviting people, hey, just follow me. But what do we actually do with that? How do we actually follow Jesus? What does it actually look like? So we're going to be looking at that this morning, and we're going to be talking a little bit about fears. I won't talk about clowns, though. So, like, if you're afraid of clowns, don't worry. We're not going to go that way this morning. And hopefully no dead clowns will be found. And that is just... Oh, yeah, that show gets me every time. But before we head that direction, let's pray. God, this morning, I just ask that you would just help open all of our eyes up to see what you have for each one of us. God, I know that you have something this morning for us, and so I just pray that you would just help open up our hearts to hear what that might be, and that we would begin to walk maybe just a little bit more closely with you because of it. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So this morning and over the last couple of weeks, we've been kind of examining this idea of follow and how there's two prerequisites. And I'm not talking like college course prerequisites, so like just take a deep breath, it's okay. You've already got all of these covered, all right? So there's two prerequisites that Jesus, when he says, come and follow me, that he wanted people to make sure they had, all right? So the first one was being a sinner. Like, it was a must. Jesus wasn't calling the perfect people. He wasn't calling the Pharisees, the people who thought they had it all together. He wasn't talking to those people because they didn't need Jesus. So you've got that covered. Second thing is not believing. Like, Jesus, he invited people who had questions, who had doubts, who weren't so sure about the whole Jesus thing, and weren't so sure about the whole religion thing in general. And so Jesus, he was calling those people that were on the fringes, that weren't sure if they even needed this, weren't sure if they believed any of it. And so this morning, you know, I think all of us, we've got that taken care of. But today we're going to try and figure out what's the end goal? Like, what's our final answer? You know, you're looking back 80 years, you're 80 years old, and you're trying to figure out, was it all worth it? Like, was this whole following Jesus thing, did it really do anything for me? Did it change me? And was it worth anything for me? And so what is our reward? So we're going to begin this morning by looking at a few things that Jesus didn't say when he said, follow me. The first one, he didn't say, follow me and you'll be a better person. He didn't say, follow me, you'll be a better person, but you will be a better person. You know, you'll be more kind, you'll be more generous, you'll forgive quicker, you will stop thinking about all those things that you used to think about, that used to consume you. And so you will be a better person, but that wasn't the whole goal of following Jesus. You know, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, these guys who walked with Jesus, who examined his life, who were with him, these were eyewitnesses. And these guys, when they write down what it meant to follow Jesus, they didn't say, follow Jesus so you'll be a better person. Because Jesus, he didn't say that. He also, you're not going to find him say, follow me so you can go to heaven. It doesn't talk about eternity when Jesus is talking about following him. You know, it's part of it, but that wasn't the end goal. That wasn't the whole reason. And that might be a light bulb moment for you. Like, I thought that was the whole purpose of it. Like, why else are we doing all of this? Like, isn't that the only reason to follow Jesus? But Jesus, he didn't really talk about following him just so you could go to heaven. Like, when you read those first four books, you're not going to find that idea of following Jesus and for your eternity. But there is this one story that's kind of crazy, and maybe you've heard it before. And basically, here's how it works. This is like one of the few times I could find where Jesus, he like promises heaven to somebody. And it's right at the very end of Jesus' life. He's on the cross, right? And there's two criminals next to him. And the one criminal, he starts talking to Jesus. And it's like in this moment, he realizes, wait, this guy is the real deal. This guy really is who he says he is. And so he starts talking to Jesus. And look, this guy's a thief. He never once followed Jesus. He wasn't baptized. He wasn't sprinkled with water as a baby. Like, he never was following Jesus. He wasn't living his life for him. None of those things. And yet right at the very end, he's like, Jesus, I think you really are who you say you are. He admits right there that he needs him. And Jesus, he looks at him. He's like, you know what, man? Today you're going to be with me in paradise. That's like one of the few times. And listen, this might be terrifying. This might be liberating for you this morning. Heck, some of you, you might get right up out of your seats when I say this and just walk right out. And that's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I can't really see you anyway. So it's fine if you do that. But Jesus, he's talking to this guy who deserved to be there. And Jesus says, you're going to be with me in paradise today. What that says to me, and what I think Luke was trying to say when he wrote that, is you can live your life however you want. You can do whatever you want. You can be a thief. You can be a criminal. You can do literally whatever you want. And at the very last moment, you can decide that, you know what, Jesus, I think you are who you say you are. And so if you want to take that chance, if you think you can guess when your last moment is actually going to be, well, hey, go for it. You know, shoot your shot, man. Go, like, you do you. You go for it. But that wasn't the whole goal of following Jesus. That's not what Jesus was asking of people. And the third thing that the message of Jesus never was when he said, follow me, the message was never follow me so that you'll have pain-free, problem-free living. And this so often becomes something that we're told over and over and over again. Maybe you've heard it, and this is something that has been said for way too long, so let's just get rid of it this morning. Let's forget about it, because Jesus never said, follow me and everything's going to be all right. Follow me and everything's going to go perfect. Follow me and you're never going to have any problems in your life. Right? I'm sure some of you are out there like, yeah, I know that is the truth. Because that wasn't the idea of what following Jesus actually was about. Seriously, anytime says like, hey, if you do these things, if you hold your hands a certain way, if you raise your hands in worship, if you never get a tattoo, you know, if you do all of these things, then you're going to be good. Like, that's not Christianity, that's magic, okay? Like, I just want you to know right now, that is not following Jesus. That was never the message of Jesus. But the problem is, all magic, it works some of the time. You know, and I think a lot of us, we were raised in homes. Maybe we heard about this Jesus guy, and we heard about all these, if you do this and you follow all these steps and everything's going to be all right. Like, so much of it has been put together as the same, and it's kind of messed with us. And Jesus, he never once gave us this formula of, hey, just follow me and everything's going to be okay. Because Jesus, he was actually inviting us into something that he knew we needed, not what we thought we wanted. He was giving us something, and he's inviting us into something that we truly long for, that he knows our hearts need, but sometimes it's not what we expect. You see, Jesus, he was so consistent. He was so consistent. Seriously, test me on this. Go and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, these guys who were eyewitnesses. You won't see Jesus saying these things. You won't see him say, follow me and you'll be a better person. You won't see him say, follow me and you'll go to heaven. You won't see him say, follow me and you will have pain-free, problem-free living. But this is difficult for us, because so often this is what we think following Jesus is all about. But this morning, I'm going to tell you what the payoff actually is, what the end goal of following Jesus actually is, and it's none of these things, okay? So here it is. If we're going to look at this portion of Scripture, this is a guy named Matthew who's writing this down. Matthew was one of the two authorized biographers of Jesus' life. He walked with Jesus. He's an eyewitness. He was there during all these things. So you can find this story if you want to follow along. Matthew, basically, he's reporting this in Matthew 10, and so Jesus, he lines up the 12, right? There's these 12 guys who followed him, his disciples, the apostles, and he starts to tell them this thing that he wants them to do. And so he lines them up and he starts saying, hey, I'm going to send you out with the exact same message that I have been sharing, that you have watched me talk about for the last couple years, that you've been a part of, that you've seen all these miracles. You're going to go out and you're going to share that same message. And you're going to do all the things that I've been doing, and you're going to heal people, and you're going to feed people, and you're going to be a part of all these things that I've been doing. But now you're being called up. You're not on the sidelines anymore. I'm sending you out. And he gives them all these instructions. He tells them where to go, and he tells them what to pack, and how much money to take, and how long long to stay and what to do if someone kind of talks back to them and what happens if they walk into a town and they're like, hey, we don't want you here. Like he tells them everything. So they're probably writing all this down, and it's right here in this little section of Matthew that we discover the finish line, that we discover this place that your Father in heaven wants to take you and he wants to take me. And now here's the good news about all this. What I'm about to read, Jesus isn't saying is going to happen to you. Like none of what I'm about to read is actually going to happen to you here today. All right. So we're just kind of, we're peering into this conversation Jesus is having with his 12 closest followers, the disciples, the apostles. And so this is what Jesus says. This is Matthew 10. We'll pick it up in 16. Here's what it says. Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves, but beware. For you will be handed over to the courts and you will be flogged with whips in the synagogue. Jesus, it's almost like he's peering into their future a little bit. You see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books, it's about Jesus. Like all those books are about Jesus and his life and what was happening. The next book is about the 11 apostles, the 11 disciples after Jesus gets out of there. All right, so Jesus, he's like looking into their future like he knows what's coming. And he's just letting them know, guys, this is, and the guys must have been so confused. Because at that point, they are just, I mean, just so popular. Like, they are the guys. Like, wherever Jesus went, thousands of people would follow. Jesus had thousands of people anywhere he went. And then there's hundreds of people that kind of followed him every single place. And then there were the 12 that were always with him. Like, and the closer you were to Jesus, the more popular you were. Like, these guys were a big deal, and they must have been looking at Jesus like, dude, this is not going to happen. Like, everything's good right now. Everything's going right. Like, we're like, talking to all these people. Everybody knows us. Like, things are good. And he tells them, no, it's about to change, guys. Like, you're going to be flogged, which was permanent. Like, if you were flogged, you could never go to the beach anymore, take your shirt off, and people not know that you're a criminal. And not know that you broke the law. Flogging was something that for the rest of your life, everyone knew, that guy's a criminal. That guy did something that the Romans did not like. They knew that you had broken the law. And they must have been so confused. But Jesus, he does this all the time. They're confused. They're probably like, what are you talking? And he just continues. Just listen to what he says. He says, you will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and the other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. At this point, if it's me, if I'm sitting there, if I'm a part of this conversation, I'm like, what are you talking about, Jesus? That's not what I signed up for. Like, I signed up because I thought, you know, I'm with Jesus, this guy everyone's been talking about. Like, I'm in the inner circle. You know, we're doing all these cool things. We're healing people. Like, this is what I signed up for. Not that. Like, Jesus, you just said we're going to be arrested. You said we're going to be flogged. We're going to be put on trial. Like, what are you talking about? And again, he just keeps going. He says this in 28, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And this is where we're going to get like fire and brimstone up in here. Okay, you guys, no, I'm just kidding. We're not going that way. But seriously, Jesus, he says, do not be afraid. And they're like, but you just said we're going to be arrested. He's like, I know. But don't be afraid. But Jesus, you just said we're going to be flogged. I know. But don't be afraid. But what about being on trial? Like, and Jesus, again, he's just like, guys, but just don't be afraid. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be one of these guys? And they're just like, but how can we not be afraid when all of these things are going to happen? And again, Jesus, he just continues on with these guys. And he's like, what is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin. Basically, he's saying, aren't they worthless? Like, isn't a sparrow, isn't two, they're basically worth nothing. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And this is where Jesus wants to take his followers. And this is where Jesus is trying to take us. To a point where our faith is so big, where our faith is so confident, is so strong that we find ourselves in the midst of circumstances where it would feel like as if God never even knew our names, that God had no idea what was happening, as if God had completely abandoned us, to the point where our faith is so confident that we can hear him whisper, even in the midst of those circumstances, "Fear not, do not be afraid. I am with you." And you're probably sitting out there thinking exactly what the 12 must have been thinking right here. Like, it's a typical human response. And they must have been thinking like, "All right, Jesus, I hear you. But, you know, I've seen you do a lot of things. I've seen you do things that no one should be able to do. So how about we just not even get arrested? Like, you know, like, how about we not even worry about that whole, like, being arrested, getting on trial? Like, I'm not going to be super worried about the words that I'm going to say when I've got handcuffs on, all right? Like, how about we just not get there?" And I'm sure that's what they're thinking of. Like, how can we get to that point, Jesus? Like, that doesn't seem like it's possible based on our circumstances right now. But you see, the message of Jesus was not, "Don't be afraid, I won't let bad things happen to you." That wasn't the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus was actually, "Don't be afraid when bad things happen." You see, that is confidence in God, and that is a faith that's so big it actually overwhelms and overshadows our fear. And this is the place where Jesus wants to take you and Jesus wants to take me when he says, "Follow me," not to a place of denial, not to a place of magic, not to this special code where we do all the right things and everything will go right, but to a place where our faith is so confident that even in the midst of circumstances that should terrify us, that we're not going to be afraid, that we're going to have this trust that just overwhelms all of our fear. And that is really where Jesus is ultimately trying to take us. And so one day Jesus, he decides to put this to the test, as he does so often. So he's got the 12, they're out in this boat, and they're just heading out in the Sea of Galilee, and this storm blows up, all right? And just remember, like, picture this, like, these are fishermen. Like, a lot of these guys are fishermen. They grew up out on the water. They probably had been through storms. Like, they knew what it was like. They knew it was going to be. But this storm must have been terrible because they are freaking out. They are terrified. They think they're going to die. And so they do what you would do, what I would do if I was on a boat thinking we were going down and Jesus is on the boat. You wake him up, right? Like, if Jesus is with you, you're waking him up. And so they wake Jesus up and they're freaking out. And you can find this story in Mark 4, and the story goes on. And these 12, they say this thing in different words that you and I have said over 1,000 times. I'm convinced of it. Basically, they're like, they're freaking out. The boat's going down. They think they're going to die. And they're saying to Jesus, "Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? We are going down. We are going to die. And you're asleep. Are you not even in this? Don't you care?" And we've said this in our own lives. We've said in our own version so many times, "Jesus, don't you care about my marriage? Jesus, don't you care about my parents' health or my children or our finances or my career or whatever it is for you?" And so Jesus, he wakes up, he calms the storm. And he says this to these guys. You can find it, verse 40. He says, "Then he asked them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" Jesus said this. He said this to them over and over and over again. They must have been screaming, "But didn't you feel the storm? Didn't you feel the boat? Like, there's water coming in from, like, we were going down." And he just says, "But don't you have faith?" Essentially, do you still not believe that your Father in heaven loves you more than sparrows? Like, guys, it's not about the waves. It's not about the wind. It's not about the water. Don't you have any faith that your Father in heaven loves you more than two sparrows? And the crazy thing is, there are people out there that don't panic like that, like the 12. There are people out there, and maybe you're one of these people. I was talking to someone Thursday night, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm one of these weird people that don't freak out in the midst of storms that don't get to that point where they're screaming, Jesus, don't you care? Like, have you ever met people like this? Like everything in their life is going down. It seems like their world is just chaos and they're just like calm and steady, like, well, we're just going to have to trust Jesus with this one. Or, you know, like maybe there's someone sick and it just seems like it's going to go bad. And they're like, well, this is just another opportunity for God to move. Like those people, you're probably looking at them like, that's just pain management, right? Like there's no way they really think that. There's no way they really feel that. Because just like I'm sure you do and like I do sometimes, it's too hard to feel that. It's too hard to have that kind of trust, that kind of faith. And yet they're like, nah, God's got this. God's got this. And you're like, are you on something? Because if you're not, you need to be. You are messed up. And if you were to go through the things that they were to go through, you're just like, nah, I wouldn't be like that. Like, and you're probably looking at them, yeah, but that's fine in their life. But if they went through the things that I went through, if they had lived my story, if they had walked the things I had to walk, they wouldn't be like that. But Jesus, that's where he wants us to be. He wants us to get to the point where he says, follow me because that's where I want to take you. I want to take you to a place where even in the midst of circumstances that should terrify you, even in the midst of circumstances where it seems like there is no good ending in sight, Jesus wants to get us to the point where our confidence, where our faith in him is so strong, is so great that we can actually fear not. And there's this guy in the New Testament that I think he illustrates this so well. His name was Saul of Tarsus. He later became known as the Apostle Paul. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. The crazy thing about Paul to me is he never walked with Jesus. He came around a little bit after Jesus, and so he wasn't really there with these guys. So he learns everything he knows about Jesus from the guys, from Peter and Paul and John and Andrew, James, Matthew, the guys. Like he knows about Jesus because of them. He didn't see Jesus. But when you read his story, you think, how could you have that kind of faith? And what's crazy is God met him on this road to Damascus. Maybe you've heard the story. He meets him there and his life just radically changes. And what's crazy about Paul is it's about 20 years after Jesus is out of there. So not maybe you heard in the college class, like all this was written like 120 years later. Like it had been passed down and none of this is really accurate. No, Paul shows up like 20 years after Jesus. And he writes this letter to these Christians living in Rome. And let me tell you, at that point, you didn't want to be a Christian living in Rome. I promise you. And so here's what he writes, Romans 8:28. This is what Paul says to these guys. He says, I know and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. You see, Paul, he experienced things that you and I will never experience. We'll never really understand what it's like to be shipwrecked three times. What it's like to receive the 40 lashings minus one, like they like to call it, that he received multiple times. To be flogged, to be imprisoned, to be stoned. Well, not that kind of stone, but you know what I'm saying. Like he lived through things that you and I would truly never understand, that we wouldn't get. And yet Paul he's here saying, like, no, it's possible to have a faith that's that big. To have a faith, a trust in God that's that broad and that's that confident, that it will truly surpass all of our fears. He goes on to say, verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And let me add a few things to that list. Joblessness, prodigal children, unfaithful spouses, infertility, bankruptcy, diminishing health. What else you got? Fill in the blank. And it's right here when your Savior, when Jesus says, fear not. And we say, but Jesus, don't you understand what's going on here? Don't you see what's happening in the midst of this? And it's right here again. Jesus is like, yeah, I know, but fear not. And I know what you're thinking right here because it's exactly what I was thinking as I was prepping this a couple weeks ago. That's great for Paul, but I don't think I'm there yet. I don't think I'm at that point yet. Like let me get real with you. I threw that list up there because I've lived a couple of these things. I'm currently living a couple or one of those things. You see, my wife and I, we've been married for almost 5 years, been together since I was in high school, like a long time. And we're planners. We like to plan out every aspect of life. She's an accountant, so like that's her job. And so I've kind of just bought into that. And so we've got just plans for everything. And we've been putting together what we thought our life would look like. You know, we planned out, like, we want to be married this long before we start having kids because we want to be this old. And, like, to that point, like, we're a little crazy, okay? And some of you are a little further on in the journey, and you know, like, well, that's not how life works, Chris. Well, I'm just figuring that out, all right? So give me a little grace. I'm trying to figure that out because we're right there in the midst of that. You see, my wife and I, we've been trying to get pregnant for a while now. And we've been in a season of negative tests. Of doctor's appointments and pregnancy announcements from friends all around us. And let me just say, like, I got on social the other day just to post something for Crosspoint, and the very first two things I saw, you see, we're in that season of life where everyone around us is getting pregnant. And the very first two things I saw were two friends of mine from college announcing they were pregnant or they just had a baby. And I haven't been on social media for a while because it's just really hard right now. And if you're in that place, like, we're celebrating with you. We're so excited. We're not angry. We're not frustrated. Like, we're trying to figure it out on our own, and we're celebrating with you. So don't hear me say that and be like, ooh, well, this is awkward. Like, someone told me Thursday night, like, we're sorry we brought our new, like, don't apologize for that. We're excited. We're celebrating that. But we're in that season of life where it's hard. I'm going to be honest. It's really hard. There's not a day that's gone by in the last probably year that one of us hasn't cried. And I'm really emotional, so don't, you know, hear that and just know, like, it doesn't take much for me to cry. But we're in that season. And at first, it was kind of funny. You know, your parents, they, like, scare you when you're a kid. Maybe your health teacher, or maybe you had that small group leader that told you, or that youth pastor that's like, if you have sex one time, you will get pregnant. Because let me tell you, that's not how that works, right? And so some of you know that. And we've been sitting here in the last couple of months just thinking, like, did we miss something, Jesus? Did we do something wrong? Like, isn't this a desire you put on our hearts? Like, everyone around us is talking about this gift that they have. Like, well, why do they get the gifts, you know? Like, what about us? Jesus, like, aren't we doing what you asked us to do? Don't you see us down here? Don't you see we're drowning? Don't you see we're at the very end of our ropes? Jesus, don't you care? Like, it's not supposed to be like this. And if you're out there this morning, I hear you. I know. I'm right in the midst of it. I understand. If you're thinking, like, I hear you, Chris, but there's no way that my faith can be at that point because of fill in the blank. Maybe it's a bankruptcy or a divorce, or maybe you lost a child or whatever it is for you. I hear you. I get it because I'm right there with you. And some of you, you've been on this journey a lot longer than we have. Or maybe for you, it's a relationship you thought you would be in at this point in your life. Or maybe it's a relationship you thought was going to turn around, and yet you're sitting there thinking, like, Jesus, don't you care about this? Like, where are you in this? Or maybe it's a point in your career or financially you thought you'd be in by now. And maybe for you, I don't know what your week was like this past week. Maybe it all hit the fan this week and everything seems like it is just falling apart. And you're sitting there thinking, like, Jesus, do you see what's happening around me right now? Jesus, don't you care? Can't you see that I'm drowning? But hear me this morning and know that I'm saying this from a place of incredible weakness and somewhat despair myself. I know this, that Jesus operates a bit differently than we would expect. If you're in a place like I just described, like maybe my list, my added list, because maybe you don't hear Paul talking about being arrested and flogged. Maybe that doesn't scare you or make your heart skip, but maybe joblessness or infertility or unfaithful spouses, prodigal children, whatever. Maybe you added something to that list. Maybe it hit a little too close to home this morning. Maybe you didn't know that's what you were getting this morning. Maybe you really should have stayed home. I don't know. But honestly, I want you to know that if you're in that place, if you feel like you've been abandoned or that God has forgotten you, I want you to know this morning that He sees you. That you're not forgotten. That He has not abandoned you. That you are not alone and that He is walking right alongside you. But the crazy thing about Jesus is He doesn't say, hey, just He's not like a doctor. Like, hey, just take this pill and everything's going to be all right. Come back in 2 weeks. You'll be all good. He just says, follow. He doesn't say follow. And He just says, follow, because it's all going to get worked out in the end. He doesn't say, hey, just do this and do this. He just says, follow over and over again. Follow me and fear not. Follow me and fear not. And here's the good news, guys. Even His closest followers, even the disciples, they didn't really get this until the very end. Over and over and over again, they must have been thinking like, we're trying, Jesus, but we're like inside of a sinking boat. It's a little hard to follow and fear not when you're in a sinking boat. And if you're out there and you're like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, Chris. Like, I hear you because I'm right there with you. We're right there with you. And so what does this all mean for us here this morning at Crosswind? What does this all mean? How can we begin to walk this out? Follow me and fear not. And so here's a few next steps I'd love for us to go over. Go ahead, grab your connection card, flip it over to the back. Let's talk through a few of these things because I really think that there is healing in this. There is potential for us to truly get to the point where our faith is so much greater than our fear. Maybe for you, your first next step is to just confront the fear of coming back next week. Maybe you're in the phase that Kurt was talking about last week of just sit and listen. And maybe for you, it's just you need to just say, I'm going to come back. I can do this. I can come one more week. And I can come one more week. So maybe you're just going to say, hey, I'm coming back next week. Maybe for some of you, there are some fears that have held you back for a while. And I'm not sure what it might be in your story, but ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, can I just take one simple step of following Jesus and trusting in His faithfulness in this fear, whatever it might be this week? Can I just take one step to allow my tiny amount of faith to intersect with God's faithfulness, His incredible, great, large faithfulness, and to just give Him some room to move this week? Or maybe for you, it's beginning to lean into God's goodness, even when you don't see results, even when that pregnancy test is negative again. Like, can you lean into His faithfulness even when you're not seeing the results of it? Maybe for some of you this morning, you've been afraid to get into a group for a long time. Maybe you're like, yeah, I think that would be good, but I'm just not the group kind of person. I don't think that's for me. Like, I want you to know this morning that there are probably people sitting in here that were in that seat years ago that would say to you, don't wait. There is healing. There's growth. There's opportunity to see light again. Those four groups Eric was talking about, addiction support, divorce care, sexual abuse support, financial peace, whatever is going on in your life. Maybe you're in a season of just, you don't know where the money is going. You're just trying to figure out, like, are we in trouble right now? Maybe financial peace is what you need. Maybe you experienced a divorce and maybe you're just hurting. Like, why not jump into one of those groups and begin to find some healing? Because don't wait, guys. This could be the moment where you step out and you begin to see change, you begin to see light again and hope again, where you begin to see your trust, your faith, overshadow your fears. And maybe for some of us, it's just committing to read this story again. Matthew 6, Jesus is talking about this peace that you can have. And He talks about the lilies and the sparrows. And He says, they don't worry, right? Because I take care of them. And so as I said earlier, you can live with a confidence in God that actually overwhelms and overshadows all of your fears. So maybe it's just committing to read that story this week. Because in the midst of it, you can see God continue to grow your faith, your trust. So in the midst of all of this stuff, as you follow your Savior, Jesus, He says, don't be afraid. I am with you. This is what he says, Matthew 6, 33. He says, I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. He tells it straight up. He says, you're going to have these, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And if you follow me, Jesus says, if you follow me, I will take you to a place where your faith, it overshadows, it overcomes, it overwhelms all of your fears. And so follow, because that is where I want to take you.